Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
This is a great day for America. It is a great day for Wisconsin, and it's a great day for Foxconn. Today, we're announcing the single largest economic development project in the history of the state of Wisconsin and one of the largest in the history of this country.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker calls the proposed Foxconn development the opportunity of the century, a high-tech manufacturing plant that will be 11 times the size of Lambeau Field, creating up to 13,000 jobs. But there is a price to pay, in $3 billion in incentives to lure the Taiwanese company here, and a waiving of Wisconsin's strict environmental regulations for the development. Critics say the price is too high. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our guests on Route 51 today are two central Wisconsin lawmakers who are scheduled to literally vote on the Foxconn development within hours of the start of this broadcast. Democratic State Representative and Assistant Minority Leader Katrina Shankland of the 71st Assembly District of Stevens Point and first-term Republican State Representative Pat Snyder of the 85th Assembly District in Wausau. We'll be talking about Foxconn today and other items on the state legislative agenda, along with some of the top political stories making news this week, specifically the events in Charlottesville and a resolution before the state assembly condemning race hatred. We'd also like to hear from you. If you've got a question for our guests, particularly in this first segment of the show, about Foxconn, this is your time to call. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. If you want to talk about Foxconn only at this point, that's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. And Pat Snyder, Katrina Shankland, thank you so much for being with us today. We're joining you in Madison. You are both in the same office together, so you'll be able to make eye contact, and it'll kind of be just like a live in-person radio show, except we're hooking up with you via telephone.
Exactly. Well, thanks so much for having us, Glenn.
Yes, thank you, Glenn.
Well, Pat, let's start with you. How are you going to vote on the Foxconn deal?
Well, I'm going to vote the same way I did on the Jobs and the Economy Committee after hearing over 10 hours of testimony in the public hearing and then going through the Executive Committee. There's just too much that is good that's going to be coming out of this. When you see $6.7 of private investment into every $1 of public investment, that is a good return. And when I look at the 15-year annualized comparison, I mean, this is going to be a boon to our GDP and hopefully put Wisconsin on the map for a brand new manufacturing technology, which we know the majority of people in Wisconsin work in the manufacturing field. So I'm very excited.
Katrina Shankland, the deal has a number of critics in your party. Are you one of them?
I will be voting no today, Glenn, because while I support creating new family-supporting jobs and giving economic opportunity for everyone in Wisconsin, I want to make sure that we have a good deal for taxpayers and that we have enough protections in place for workers, taxpayers, and our natural resources. I think we need to work together to perform more due diligence on this deal. I think it's important to note that almost $3 billion over the next 15 years is actually going to be paid in cash using state taxpayer dollars to the company. And that's what makes this deal so different, is over the next 15 years, our nonpartisan budget bureau projects that we'll actually be paying out more than $1 billion than we'll actually be taking in. So that's a big concern for me, and it's why I'll be voting no today.
Well, the facility is going to be massive, 20 million square feet. That's three times the size of the Pentagon or the size of 11 Lambeau Fields, making it one of the largest manufacturing campuses in the nation. The governor says the project will transform the state and create what he calls the Wiscon Valley, with thousands of good-paying jobs and a ripple effect that creates thousands more. The comparison, of course, is to what the Silicon Valley did for the San Francisco Bay Area. So let's hear Governor Scott Walker make his case for Foxconn on a recent appearance on the Fox Business Channel, followed by a guy who plans to vote no on the deal, Democratic Assemblyman and gubernatorial candidate Dana Walks of Eau Claire.
Absolutely. 13,000 jobs paying on average more than $53,000 per year plus benefits, $10 billion investment. On top of that, $10.5 billion payroll over the next 15 years alone, 10,000 construction jobs to build this 20 million square foot facility, well, a series of facilities, really an ecosystem, a campus here in the state of Wisconsin, and 22,000 indirect and induced jobs. Absolutely, it's worth it. This is transformational. These LCD displays will be made in America for the very first time right here in the state of Wisconsin. And we think it's transformational, which is why we're calling this region Wisconn Valley, because we think it will help not only Foxconn and all the other businesses related to it, it'll help put Wisconsin on the map all around the world.
It's not a good deal. It's not a good deal at all. And I don't think the taxpayers are being well served by this deal. And the other thing about it is they're rushing this through. If we had months to sit down and take a hard look at this and analyze everything, that'd be a different story. But to spend $2.8 or $3 billion on this project at this point in time with very little time to reflect on it, I'm a no at this point. Absolutely. I'm an absolute no. And the other thing that we have virtually no analysis done on is the fact that now they want to just have a carte blanche exemption in terms of the ecological issues here. I'm a hunter and a fisherman. I've been involved in the outdoors my entire life. And if you let corporate America just have their way with the environment, you're not going to come to a good result. And maybe it's $3 billion going in. Maybe we have to spend $10 billion to clean it up when they leave.
That's gubernatorial candidate and state representative Dana Walks on Upfront with Mike Goucher. Dana just said, if you let corporate America have their way with the environment, you're not going to come up with a good result. And he asks if we're not only going to have to give the company $3 billion in incentives, but maybe pay billions more for an environmental cleanup down the road. Pat Snyder, how do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, why is he looking, thinking they're going to leave? You're going to invest $10 billion in the state, and then what, you're going to leave in 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years? I'm sorry, I don't get that. And we're not waiving environmental protections. In fact, we're just streamlining it. So many things occur when you go through the environmental impact study. You've got to remember, mercury, when it was put in back 10-plus years ago, it didn't have to have an environmental impact study done, and they came in, so did other large companies in this. We will make sure the air and water quality standards are followed. Federal laws will still apply. We've actually enhanced the wetland protections with stronger mitigation for every acre of wetland taken. Two has to be replaced. We took in concerns on our committee with Democrat members wanting to make sure that, if all possible, to relocate that 2-to-1 acreage in the zone or in the southeast Wisconsin, not send it somewhere north. And so, I mean, when I was on the committee, I asked the DNR chair that I said, in the end of this, when they are constructing, when they are producing, are they going to be clean water, clean air, clean standards, Lake Michigan will be protected, and they said yes. And even when we heard from the city of Kenosha or Kanawha County, their water commissioner, who's been working with Foxconn, says that all the quality samples he took from their plants would meet all of our federal and state guidelines for water quality. So they've been doing their homework as well, and I think that we are going to be very good stewards. And you know, the person that excited me the most when I was listening to a testimony from the University of Wisconsin, but was president level of Marquette University. He was in Pittsburgh as a professor in Pittsburgh when Google came in to Pittsburgh. And he said, the thing that's so exciting about Foxconn, like Google, is that it's clustering all the different other companies, all the different innovations that will be coming to the state of Wisconsin. The university system and educational systems are very excited about this as well.
Katrina Shanklin, your reaction on the environmental concerns of Dana Walks?
Well, I'm very concerned about any kind of exemption for one business. I believe that everyone should have to follow by the same rules, and every other business in Wisconsin is already doing this. So when you allow a company that's doing construction on a site the length of 11 Lambeau Fields to completely bypass the environmental impact statement, you're sending a message. So this is actually considered proof of concept for additional bills to remove the same kind of protections for other Wisconsin businesses and industry. People are saying, you know, Foxconn can get this deal from state legislators. Why can't we? In fact, just today, Republican Representative Adam Jarko did an interview with the Wheeler Report, which reports on state government in Wisconsin. And he actually is quoted as saying that he's having some difficulty with respect to Foxconn because he does not feel comfortable asking his constituents to foot the bill when they're going to be playing by different rules. Now, what he's saying is the exemptions on Foxconn is a vindication of all the, quote, loud complaining he's been doing about the DNR. And he says if they get exemptions, that others should too. So I'm very concerned about not only the precedent that this is setting, but also to allow a company to fill and dredge wetlands without a permit, which is what is included in the bill. They could additionally connect man-made waters to state waterways, which could potentially trigger some kind of court case down the road, since when you affect our state's waters, you know, there could be some serious constitutional questions in play. That's not how we do business in Wisconsin. Economic development is important, but we know that it doesn't have to come at the expense of our wetlands, our rivers, our streams, and our landscapes. Wisconsin companies have been successful for decades under existing laws that both protect the public as well as our water. And I think that these exemptions that are in play could trigger further and future exemptions down the road for other companies. And we won't even know the full impact of a company this big that will be building, a company so large it's 11 times the size of Lambeau, because we won't get an environmental impact statement under this proposal. So that's a big concern for me.
We got a couple of comments on Facebook on this issue, both steering in the same direction. Chris says, if the Republicans would use that money to give everybody a long overdue living wage and fix the roads, all that money would go into the state. And Susan on Facebook says, what about workers from Illinois coming into Wisconsin to take all the jobs and Wisconsin taxpayers suffer due to the tax cuts being offered to this new industry? Pat Snyder.
Well, what was the first part of that question again?
Well, first part.
Or what was the first question from the gentleman?
First question was if you would take the money and
the living wage. So government should mandate the wages.
The living wage,
well,
and also
remember the starting wage for Foxconn is $20 an hour for untrained or unskilled. So we put $20 million in for training and education to help out on this. But you've got to look at the ripple effect when suddenly in the Milwaukee and southeast Wisconsin area, and then again even up in my neck of the woods, when you can go and start at $20 an hour, what does that do for the industries that are paying $16, $17 an hour? To keep some of the workers, they might have to increase their wages as well. You know, you go back to North Dakota when they had that boon on fracking oil, they were paying $17 an hour for Walmart workers so they could compete and bring people in. The free market will create that. As far as Illinois residents, well, right now we have an imbalance. We have more Illinois folks, or I should say more Wisconsin folks going to Illinois to work than Illinois coming up to Wisconsin. Currently in the county of Racine, 85% of those workers are Wisconsin residents. And in the county of Kenosha, 95% of the workers in that county are Wisconsin residents. So I do think we will have some Illinoisans, but I'm going to say with the mess they're in as a state, we're going to see a lot more people moving up to Wisconsin. In fact, I think that once we get this through and they open for business, we can start working through our tourism, similar to what the state of New York has done, and go to the rest of the country saying Wisconsin is a great destination to raise a family and have very good paying jobs, education, and everything that comes with it.
Senator Ron Johnson has suggested that Illinois should pay for some of those incentives because the development, of course, is right on the border. And Scott Ross of the liberal group One Wisconsin Now said, this is a quote, every member of the state legislature can explain to their constituents why they want $3 billion to go to the company of a foreign billionaire to be located on the Illinois border with no guarantee the jobs will go to Wisconsin workers. Katrina Shankland, Pat Snyder, I think pretty much answered that question. What's your perspective?
Well, I, again, have concerns about this because we are talking about almost $3 billion in cash payments coming from the state of Wisconsin taxpayers. So at a minimum, we should make sure that we give hiring preference to Wisconsin workers and Wisconsin veterans. And that's why Democrats introduced amendments to do both of those things. And I'll note, these are common sense proposals that most people agree with, but they were voted down by every Republican on the committee. An independent consultant, Baker Tilly, estimated that 40 to 50% of the jobs could be filled by non-residents. Now, we're voting today on a proposal where we don't even know the exact town or city where this will be located, but we know it's going to be near the Illinois border. Now, WEDIC Secretary Hogan actually said on Sunday on Mike Gushay, quote, "The fact of the matter is we will have to recruit from outside of Wisconsin," end quote. So if the administration itself is admitting that they're going to have to recruit from out of state to fill these jobs, why in the world would we give $3 billion in cash payments to this company? I think that we need to protect workers. I agree that there needs to be a living wage. I think it's very important to know that the language in the bill does not require a living wage. In fact, the $1.5 billion in state income tax credits for jobs is going to salaries between $30,000 and $100,000. I think we all know $30,000 in the Kenosha Racine area isn't a living wage. And so, again, there are concerns there, especially for families who are already scraping by. We need to do everything we can to create economic opportunity for everyone to succeed, but $3 billion in cash payments to a company that has not yet guaranteed how many jobs they're going to do. They haven't given us a minimum number of jobs. They've only said up to 13,000 jobs. The money is not linked to jobs created by a certain deadline. Now, Republican Senator Majority Leader Fitzgerald is also concerned with this. So I just want to point out, you know, while the company may say, here's their average wage, and that's what Governor Walker is saying too, there's also a larger concern in that when we've tried to put language in to protect workers and taxpayers, we've been denied by Republican lawmakers who don't want to put mandates in there. And that's fine, but then don't give $3 billion to a company. You can't have it both ways.
We're talking to...
Well, you've got to remember, Glenn, the $3 billion going to the company is after they invest $10 billion and after 13,000 jobs. It's a pay-as-you-grow incentive. It's just not giving them $3 billion over the 15 years. They only create 3,000 or 5,000 jobs, then they only get $500 million. They don't get the $3 billion. So, you know, it's an investment, and it's an investment for both. I mean, we're talking about over a 15-year annualized increase of $78 billion to the GDP. You don't think Green Heck Fan's going to be one of the suppliers trying to get ventilation into this new plant? When I was with Congressman Duffy as his outreach director, the thing that amazed me the most when I went out in the 7th District is the amount of suppliers, manufacturers, that are in our small communities. There are going to be suppliers of the suppliers of the suppliers for Foxconn and other industries that come in this. The people I've talked with economic development, are very excited about this. And again, on the educational side, with research grants that could come out of this technology. And not only that, Glenn, but the MOU that Tony Gao has agreed with Wisconsin ginseng growers will be a boom for Marathon County.
We're talking with Republican State Representative Pat Snyder of Wausau and Democratic State Representative Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point in this segment on the issue of Foxconn. 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Ned in Knowlton. Ned, you're on with Pat and Katrina.
Hi, just a few points. First, the assumptions. The assumption that it's 100% Wisconsin workers, which was made by the study that says the payback will be by 2043, is obviously false. There's going to be at least some. We don't know the percentage that'll go to workers from Illinois. And the maximum of 13,000 jobs, it might be far fewer jobs. So, you know, we can't just look at 13,000 only. Next, we can't balance the state budget right now. I want Pat Snyder and all the Republicans to tell us exactly where this money is going to be coming from. We can't balance it now. We've cut things to the bone. How on earth are we going to come up with even part of that money spread over 15 years? And, Let's see. I think that's most of my point.
All right. Ned, thanks so much. Let's get a reaction from Pat Snyder. Where's the money going to come from, and are you going to have to make more cuts maybe to education in order to get this done?
No, I would not support cuts to education at all. You know, again, the $10 billion investment, this would be coming over the 15-year period. You've got to remember there's been studies and impacts done that this will create additional 22,000 jobs outside of Foxconn industry. Already, there's indication that Corning and the glass manufacturing plant would spend $1 billion and put a plant in with 600 jobs. So, you know, there's going to be, as President Level said, the ripple effect of other industries coming in to this situation. So we will find with the increased revenue, with the increased construction, with the increase of other jobs, we will find the money. And this is, you know, the thing is, right now, the state of Ohio and Governor Kasich is still pursuing getting Foxconn. I mean, just because there's an MOU doesn't mean they can't come out and try to steal. They offered more money, and as long as you know, let's take time and study. Well, Pennsylvania did it with Harrisburg when they changed governors, and suddenly Foxconn pulled out. And, of course, they were back in the bidding for this one as well. Virginia's governor, Terry McAuliffe, is upset. Foxconn didn't try out his state, thinking that the administration steered it toward a Republican governor and state. So, you know, there's a lot of, let's just say, motivation that they want this company in the United States and in America. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that this is something that is going to build Wisconsin, build revenue, so we can make sure that we have strong education, strong assistance program to help those that are building themselves up into great careers. And then our roads to get this darn thing out of debt with bonding and start finding revenue ways. So I'm very optimistic. We're a manufacturing state. This is the cutting edge of a new manufacturing technology, and we can be in the ground floor.
Katrina Shankland?
All right, so let's go through some of the facts here. Under the bill, I'm not relying on hopes and dreams. I'm talking about the bill and the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau analysis of cash flow. So the first $1.35 billion will be paid in a cash payment to Foxconn for their capital investment. Now, that is not tied to jobs. The second cash payment is $1.49 billion in state income tax credits that would be paid out over 15 years for up to 17% of the salary for $30,000 salary jobs up to $100,000 jobs. There's also $150 million that wouldn't be paid out, but that would come as a sales tax exemption for construction. And to be clear, this is not tied to a minimum number of jobs. We just know that Foxconn has said up to 13,000 jobs, but they haven't given us a minimum number, and they haven't given us a deadline. Now, when it comes to the cash flow, there are some serious issues with this, and they're so serious that conservative groups like the Americans for Prosperity have also had issues with the refundable tax credits because they're coming as cash payments. This isn't just a company not paying taxes. It's the state of Wisconsin giving a company tax dollars. So in the next 15 years, we will be paying out in tax dollars, according to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is a nonpartisan budget bureau, more than we'll be paying in by $1 billion in 15 years. And in addition, under the best-case scenario, assuming they create all 13,000 jobs, assuming they're all filled by Wisconsin workers, taxpayers in Wisconsin won't break even on Foxconn until 2043. The highest amount we'd pay out in taxpayer dollars in 1 year would be $312 million. Now, to put that in perspective, that's about the same amount of new money the governor included in his budget this year, in just 1 year, for schools. So can Foxconn guarantee that they'll still be manufacturing LCD panels in 2043, 25 years down the road, when this will pay off for taxpayers? That's including all the projected jobs. That's including the projected construction and economic activity. Will taxpayers ever see a return on their investment? And so I think that we need to be prudent and practical when we're making this decision. We have seen huge cuts to our public schools. We have a $1 billion transportation deficit. The budget is 1.5 months overdue. We need to get our fiscal house in order. These tax credits are refundable, and that's money that could go directly to our roads, our classrooms, and our health care. So legislators who vote on this proposal today need to recognize that down the road, if we're operating at a deficit and we are on the hook for a cash payment to Foxconn of $312 million, that's $312 million less that can go to our roads and our schools and our health care.
We're talking state politics with Democratic Assemblywoman Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point, Republican Assemblyman Pat Snyder of Wausau. I'm Glenn Moberg. We were going to move on in the next segment, but everyone is interested in Foxconn, so I think we're going to do another segment on Foxconn. We are going to take a short break. Here's the music connection with a song about Katrina Shanklin's hometown.
When they play the polka from Stevens Point, how we laugh, how we dance, how we shout. Then we grab our partner by the hand and we skip and scamper about. Brewed in that city of wonderful water, but when they play the polka, we'll drink anything but water. Lift your glasses to the sky and drink it down when they play that Stevens Point polka.
Support for WPR comes from the Washington Island Chamber, offering Death's Door Barbecue August 26th on Washington Island. Live music, island vendors, kids activities, and more. WashingtonIsland-WI.com. Support also comes from the International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival, September 15th to the 17th in Wausau, offering ginseng-themed foods, hands-on activities, live music, and more. WisconsinGinsengFestival.com.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Grab on, brother, grab on.
Evolution, revolution, got control the sound of soul. Shooting rockets to the moon, kids growing up too soon. Politicians say more taxes will solve everything.
And the band played on.
The Temptations, taking us into our next segment of Route 51 with Democratic Assemblywoman Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point and Republican Assemblyman Pat Snyder of Wausau. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-800-780-9742. I was originally only going to do one segment on Foxconn. We're going to do another quick segment on it, and the reason for that is I want to get some of these phone calls and Facebook comments in. So we're going to hit two phone calls back-to-back and then get some reaction from our guests. Let's go to Wayne in Annawa. Wayne, you're on Route 51.
Yes, thank you. You know, my question is, in our area here, we have so many people only making $8 and $10 an hour. And how is it legal that the government can take tax dollars from people and give it to private corporations? Has there ever been a lawsuit filed in effect of this, or has it ever gone before the Supreme Court? I always thought taxes were supposed to be for the benefit of everyone, and yet they can take these tax dollars and just hand them out to private corporations to use as they see fit. That's my question.
All right, Wayne, thanks so much. And Rich on Facebook also says, on the same vein, Republicans have objected to subsidies for companies, saying they should compete in the open marketplace and make it or fail. Why flip-flop in this case? Pat Snyder.
I don't think we're flip-flopping. I think this is a big enough investment. This is a big enough company. I mean, 11 Lambeau Fields, $10 billion private investment, that hopefully from this model we'll be able to maybe relook at some of the other incentives. One thing I would like to see happen over the next few sessions, even quicker if possible, is really working on the personal property taxes, because private businesses, small businesses who are very important to our economy are getting hit with that all the time. So I would love to work on that to see if we can get a solution to eliminate that and give them some tax relief as well. But I do think a lot of the things that come out of this deal, this construction, will be able to be modeled and blueprinted for future constructions of other industries.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Katrina Shanklin, your reaction.
I think the question about corporate welfare is a fair one, and not just for workers, but also small businesses who create about 70% of all new jobs. I mean, if one company gets about $3 billion in cash payments over 15 years, so many people are going to be asking, what about for us? Now, my colleague just mentioned he believes that and hopes that this could be a model and a blueprint My question is, at what point is our $76 billion budget going to be spent on the people of Wisconsin and not just corporate welfare? And now a personal property tax repeal alone would cost hundreds of millions of dollars to backfill every single biennium, again, cutting into our health care for our most vulnerable, our schools, and our roads. What is government's basic fundamental job and responsibility to the people? It's to provide infrastructure, public safety, and education, and to protect our most vulnerable. And that's what we need to be investing in first and foremost. Are jobs important? Absolutely. But I'll refer again to Americans for Prosperity, who actually said, quote, as free market activists who staunchly oppose government tax incentives, we cannot support the expensive refundable tax credits in this package, which are not available to every other business in our state, end quote. Now, if Wisconsin gets this reputation to being incredibly easy to negotiate with, you know, the governor, his administration went on Mike Boucher this Sunday and said, you know, we did everything we could. If everything you can do is to put a deal together that doesn't even include clawbacks so that taxpayers can recoup their money when their jobs are outsourced or automated, taken over by robots, that's not a good enough deal. We need to get better at this. And Wisconsin deserves a more forward-looking kind of leadership where we're investing in our small businesses and helping Main Street and making sure that we're investing in our roads and broadband and our public schools, universities, and technical colleges, which provide a huge return on investment. In fact, there's UW-Madison study that says for every $1 you put in, you're getting 15 back. Early education, great investment. So, again, we need to look a little bit further down the road than just a couple years. And I think we need to look beyond splashy campaign ads and think more about what we want our state to look like in 2043.
All right.
We want good roads and schools.
Katrina, we got it. Let's move to Jerry in Wausau. Jerry, you're on Route 51.
I would like to point out that people keep talking about the $3 billion. I think it would make more sense if they would actually put that in terms of $3,000 million, since $1 billion is $1,000 million, and that has a bit more of an impact. Secondly, when he first ran for office, Governor Walker promised to create in his first term 250,000 jobs. He didn't do that. He got maybe about halfway there, as I recall. I'm wondering if we add these jobs, let's say we take the average between 3,000 and 13,000, 8,000 jobs, and add that to what he's already added in 7 years, how much closer will we be to that 250,000 jobs? Then the other thing is that I can't help but think, be a little skeptical of the timing of this going into in a re-election year for the governor. We've seen that, you know, after 7 years of war on public education, he comes along now and wants to pump more money into public education, the kind of an election stunt. And I, yeah, this whole thing, I am, there's potential there, but I am quite skeptical when you get down to the actual $3,000 million.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. We got it. And one more Facebook comment. CJ says that he's skeptical about the rather aggressive economic projections and reasonable probability of large, outdated, and irrelevant facilities sitting vacant in 15 to 20 years. So that's a lot to digest, and we do have to move on, but I want to get Katrina Shanklin to give one final comment on Foxconn, and Pat, you'll get the last word. Katrina, you go first.
Great. Well, I think it's important to note that Wisconsin still doesn't have a budget and that our rural school districts across the state could see their payments being delayed as a result. Instead of focusing on passing a budget that works for everyone and making sure that we're giving everyone economic opportunities to succeed, today the state assembly is rushing into a vote on a $3 billion deal where a foreign company could see up to $3 billion of cash payments over the next 15 years. That investment, according to our nonpartisan budget bureau, would not pay off and break even until 2043. Now, there's too many questions that we have. We need a second public hearing. I've asked for that. I'm a member of the Joint Finance Committee, and I'm hoping that we have the ability to evaluate our cash flow and how this will affect not only this budget, but every budget in the future. Wisconsinites are fair. They're hard workers. They believe in hard work. But they want their tax dollars to pay off for them. They want to see a return on investment for their kids so their kids can have a better future than they did. That's why they work so hard. And I don't think that this deal is good enough. We need to enhance protections for workers, taxpayers, and our natural resources. And that's why I'll be supporting amendments to do just that today.
Pat Snyder?
Well, I tell you what, I'm just so excited to be part of this experience of this type of company, this kind of a game-changing industry manufacturer to come to the state of Wisconsin. When testimony came out during our Jobs and Economy Committee hearing, we had Chamber of Commerce's from La Crosse and from Green Bay in favor of this deal, knowing that their communities will be impacted in this. Listen, you know, we invest like we should in education, both in the university, college level, and K through 12. We invest in that knowing that these students are going to go in, get an education, and hopefully stay in the state of Wisconsin. Well, this situation now already will have ripples for North Central Technical College, providing steps to engineering degrees, to technical degrees in engineering that will benefit not a brain drain anymore, but hopefully a brain gain to Wisconsin. I am not as negative on this as everyone else. This is an investment for almost $7 of money from Foxconn. We're investing a dollar, and we're investing in our future to build this tremendous opportunity. And I'm going to vote yes on this, because if we wait and don't vote and suddenly this all goes to Ohio and all the things we've talked about, the benefits, are suddenly being realized in Ohio, and then we're going to be sitting here watching what we could have possibly had, I don't like that. And when Illinois is jealous of this whole situation and saying basically in the Chicago Tribune, the reason why Wisconsin got it is because of a more friendly both public and government relationship. And that's why Tony Gow picked us. We gave him the final number and said we can't go higher. And he came back to us and chose us over the other states.
Pat Snyder, Katrina Shanklin, thank you. We're talking state politics with our two central Wisconsin lawmakers. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. We're going to move on from Foxconn. When we come back, we'll talk about the events in Charlottesville and a measure before the state assembly condemning race hatred. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're going to take a short break, and here's a song by Loxley.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Kimberly-Clark Corporation, home of Kleenex, Scott, and Huggies brands. More information about Kimberly-Clark's 147-year history is available on the web at kimberly-clark.com. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
Taking us into our final segment of Route 51 as we continue to talk politics with Democrat Assemblywoman Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point and Republican Assemblyman Pat Snyder of Wausau. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. The State Assembly today is scheduled to take up a resolution condemning race hatred in the wake of the recent events in Charlottesville. So I want to talk about that big national story that's been consuming all of the media attention this week, the march by right-wing groups, including Nazis and Ku Klux Klan members, the melee with the opposing demonstrators, the deaths of three people, including a 32-year-old woman and two police officers in a helicopter crash, and the president's reaction in which he seems to treat both the Nazis and the people opposing them equally. We're going to listen to the president, followed by reactions to his remarks from three conservative cable TV commentators. First, we're going to hear from Guy Benson and Catherine Timpf, and they are both with the Fox News specialists. And then we'll hear from Steve Schmidt, who managed John McCain's campaign for president in 2008.
I've condemned neo-Nazis. I've condemned many different groups, but not all of those people were neo-Nazis, believe me. Not all of those people were white supremacists by any stretch. Those people were also there because they wanted to protest the taking down of a statue, Robert E. Lee. So, excuse me, and you take a look at some of the groups and you see, and you know it if you were honest reporters, which in many cases you're not, but many of those people were there to protest the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. So, this week it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop? So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly.
Where he really lost me was when he was saying and objecting, saying there were some fine people in that protest in Charlottesville. They were chanting things like, Jews will not replace us. There's nothing good about that.
It's honestly crazy for me to have to comment on this right now because I'm still in the phase where I'm wondering if it was actually real life, what I just watched. It was one of the biggest messes that I've ever seen. I can't believe it happened. A gathering full of white supremacist Nazis doesn't have good people in it. Those are all bad people, period. And the fact that that's controversial makes me want to, I don't know if I should just like laugh. So I mean, I have like too much eye makeup on to start crying right now. It's disgusting.
The moral failure is complete. And it's almost irredeemable. The Republican leaders have to condemn the president for this false equivocation directly by name. They have to censure him or they risk sliding into a moral abyss with him.
That's the president of the United States, followed by two Fox News commentators, Guy Benson and Catherine Schmidt, and finally Steve Schmidt. That's Catherine Timpf, I meant to say, and finally Steve Schmidt, who managed John McCain's campaign for president in 2008. Pat, I want to start with you. You were a conservative talk radio host for many years. If you were on the air right now, what would you be saying?
I'd be saying that there is no place in our country for any type of white supremacy, Nazi groups, anything that would hamper the ability of the pursuit of life and liberty for anybody, no matter race, creed, sex, anything. I would be totally against anything like that. So I would be condemning it. And personally, I didn't realize this far, you know, fringe right group had as much, you know, I thought we pretty much took care of some of this stuff, that there weren't out there as much. So I'm appalled that ugliness has risen back up again. And I'm concerned too on the before this tragic incident where this white supremacist, who hopefully when they get all the FBI information will be discovered to be a domestic terrorist and tried that way, will send a message to everyone else as well. But I'm also concerned on the other side of the issues when you have things like Berkeley and other events where people come in and destroy property. And are they there to protest? And if so, why are they wearing masks and bandanas to cover their face? To me, it's almost like it's getting scary when it seems like extremists on all sides are starting to take up the air, and I'm worried for our country that we don't let those extremists have any more oxygen.
Katrina Shankland?
All right, so let's start by making something extremely clear. There's no such thing as all sides or both sides. There's one side, the right side of history. The right side of history is standing up for our neighbors, It's condemning racism, and it's making sure that we stand up against hate. Our elected leaders should speak the conscience of America. And Governor Walker, for example, is refusing to condemn the racist comments that President Trump made. He actually said, "I'll let the president and his team speak for him." I feel that President Trump's comments are morally repugnant. They do not represent our values. Neo-Nazis, the Ku Klux Klan, and white supremacists are hate groups, and there is no excuse to use false equivalents to give them political cover, nor should leaders like Governor Walker and Senator Johnson punt on holding President Trump accountable. You yourself listed several different commentators who did hold him accountable, and I think that's the least that our state leaders should do. We should be condemning white supremacy, neo-Nazis, and the Ku Klux Klan without making any qualifications or making false equivalencies or pointing at other things that are shiny objects and saying, look here, this is important. We have to stand up to racism, and it's on all of us, elected leaders and community members, to stand up to this disgusting display of discrimination and condemn it to the strongest degree.
Pat Snyder, how do you react to Steve Schmidt, who again managed John McCain's campaign, who says Republicans have to condemn the president, mention him by name now, or they will fall into what he calls a moral abyss?
It's to me, you don't agree with the president's response, but then, you know, they want to play, you know, this political game. Why don't we just call it the way it is? It's a horrible, terrible thing, these racists, these bigots, these supremacists. It's horrible what they did. But now suddenly that if we don't do this, oh, we're falling into this place. Oh, we voted for the president. Now we're just a bunch of dumb people that don't know what we're doing. It's always like we got to be labeled to a group rather than trying to stand up for what I believe in. You know, to be held responsible for a president, for a governor, for anyone that I'm not personally involved with their staff, I don't know. I would have definitely chose different words and a different message if I was advising the president. But to come out and say, oh, I got to condemn things. I mean, when that horrible shooting happened in the church where the black folks were killed by that white supremacist, I don't remember President Obama coming out and condemning white supremacy. I mean, he looked at it, he went after that individual, and since he didn't come out as strong, no one was saying we condemn the President Obama for not doing this. So let's get off this trying to polarize us anymore, and let's do what's right.
Katrina Shanklin, you are currently promoting and encouraging people to donate to the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's a group that monitors hate crimes and has a history of suing groups that commit them, in some cases putting them out of business. Talk about that for a second.
Sure. So the Southern Poverty Law Center is a nonprofit. It tracks more than 1,600 extremists and domestic hate groups that operate across the country. A lot of people have said that they're surprised to see so much hate in the United States, but the problem is these hate groups do exist, and they've been growing over the past year. So the Southern Poverty Law Center is dedicated to fighting hate and bigotry and to seek justice for the most vulnerable members of our society. And I have to say, you know, again, there's no place in our country or in our state for false equivalency. It is not okay to point to another situation and say, well, this person didn't do that. I'm sorry, there's no place for it. Any comment that equates both sides is bankrupt of our nation's values, which is freedom, equality, and unity. Every single person in our country should be able to condemn racism. And if you can't, you have a problem.
Pat, we're down to like our last 30 seconds, so I'm going to ask you real quick for a short answer to a complicated question. We have a First Amendment protecting free speech and the right to assembly, even for Nazis. When are we justified as a society to limit those rights for public safety concerns?
Well, I think when they come out for a permit with these groups, I have heard an idea about this. If you're going to get a permit to protest, the only thing you could have on you is a poster sign. No sticks, no weapons, nothing like that, or else you won't be allowed to protest. I hate to think of the slippery slope of starting to, as much as disgusting as some of this speech is, but to have to come in and say this is good, this isn't good. Who decides that? And I'm so worried that what our values as this great country would be hampered with.
Pat Snyder, Katrina Shanklin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Glenn.
want to thank today's guests, Democratic Assemblywoman and Assistant Minority Leader Katrina Shankland of the 71st Assembly District in Stevens Point, and Republican Assemblyman Pat Snyder of the 85th Assembly District in Wausau. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss, and production assistant, Chris Watkins. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Sean Hopper, Loxley, The Temptations, The Music Connection, Cream, and the University of Wisconsin Symphonic Band. Next week on Route 51, we look at the business of sports. Our guests include Mark McDonald of the Wisconsin Woodchucks and Milwaukee sports marketer Brian Lamme. If you missed part of this program, it will be rebroadcast in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau, and it can be downloaded at wpr.org/Route 51. Thanks to all of you who called in today and left comments on Facebook. Thanks again for riding along with us. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we are heading out of town.